Welcome to another sermon podcast from Central Presbyterian Church in Atlanta, Georgia. This episode will feature a sermon delivered by the Reverend Kate Culver. The sermon is based on scripture from Genesis chapter 2, verses 4b through 9, and John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. It is the eighth of the series Jesus' Journey Through John. Central Sunday Morning Service for the 12th of April, 2026, second Sunday of Easter, was streamed to our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. A complete video or sermon audio replay of this service may be found on cpcatlanta.org. Select the upper right menu, and then Services under Worship.
Today we will continue in John's Gospel. Their second reading is John chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. Listen now for the word of God for you and for me. When it was evening that day, the first day of the week, and the doors were locked where the disciples were, for fear of the religious leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As God has sent me, so I send you." And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and unless I see my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, the disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." And Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. So today, I want to start at the very beginning, before space or time, before belief, before doubt, because at the beginning, there's only breath. Genesis tells us that God forms human from dust of the ground. Dust. Dust is ordinary. Dust is fragile. Dust doesn't hold itself together by itself. It is easily scattered. And in the creation account that Carrie just read, that is where God begins, not with broad strokes or strength or even light, but with something so small, so fragile, just dust. And then God leans in close even enough that there is no distance between divine breath and human lungs. And God breathes breath into that dust. Breath into what was not alive, and then suddenly there's life. And the Hebrew word for this is ruach. It means wind, spirit. It is movement, it is life itself. And ruach, this word for spirit, it is a feminine word in a generative and expansive way. The spirit of Genesis hovers over the waters like a mother, like something brooding or birthing or bringing forth life where there was none. It's the same kind of hovering that you can imagine at the edge of a cradle, the same kind of presence that does not force life into being, but makes space for it, holds it, waits for it, welcomes it. So from the very beginning, life comes not through force, but through nearness and through breath, through something intimate. And that matters because Ruach is not loud. It is not something we usually notice. And yet, without it, nothing else exists. Which means from the very beginning, life is not something that we secure. It is something we receive. We do not generate breath. We participate in it. Every inhale is a gift. Every holy exhale is a release. And if you pay attention, even now, you can feel it. Just for a moment, notice your breath. You don't have to change it, just notice it for a minute. The rise of your chest, the quiet expansion, the soft letting go. You didn't decide to do that. You didn't have to earn it. You were simply being sustained without effort, without earning, without proof. You are breathing and you are being breathed. And it serves as a reminder that life is still being given over and over again. And if life is still being given, then the story is not over. Maybe all of our fear isn't final. Maybe all of our uncertainty is not the end. Maybe something is still being formed even here and even now. So hold that image of breath-filling lungs and come with me into John's gospel. Because what we find there feels different. The disciples are in a room, and the doors are locked, and the air is stale, and it is tight, and it is still. And I imagine what they're feeling in their bodies, and their breath is shallow, because fear always does that. It constricts. It makes the world smaller. And if you stay there long enough, you start to believe that this is all there is, that that room is really small, that the future is really this closed in. And the hardest part is you can't think your way out of it. You can't convince your body that it is safe. You cannot secure life when everything in you feels like it's slipping. Which means if life is going to come back to the disciples, it will have to come from somewhere else. And the disciples have every reason to be afraid, don't they? They have watched Jesus die. Not from a distance, but up close. They've heard the crowd turn. They've watched the power crush what they love. And they've seen what happens to those who follow too closely. And they're not just afraid, they think that they're next. So this room is not just locked, it is full. Full of memory, full of fear, full of things unsaid. And maybe you have been in a room like that, sitting on the edge of a hospital bed, watching numbers on a screen, trying to take full breaths and realizing that you can't. That is this room. Everything feels suspended, and no one in that room knows how to move forward. There's no plan, there's no clarity, there's no right next step. It's just a group of people trying to breathe in a world that has taken their breath away. And then in our text today, Jesus enters. Not because the disciples opened the door, not because they figured things out, not because their faith was strong enough. Jesus comes anyway. And he stands among them and he says, "Peace be with you." And then he shows them his hands and his side, and the wounds are still there, which means that resurrection has not erased what has been hard. And I think that we need to remember that, because resurrection has not undone suffering. Instead, it has held it, it has carried it, and it has transformed it. But that's not the whole story, because then Jesus goes and does something that echoes all the way back out to Genesis. He breathes. And imagine that moment. after days of stale air and days of fear tightening in their bodies and days of holding everything in, and suddenly there is breath again? Ruach. Receive the Holy Spirit, he says. Receive life. Receive what you cannot create on your own, and notice. Notice in this text that this comes before belief, it comes before understanding, and it comes before clarity. The breath is given in the middle of fear, which means maybe faith does not begin with having the right answers. Maybe it begins with receiving breath in a space that feels closed off. Maybe hope is not something we arrive at, but something that is breathed into us again and again until we remember how to live. And while all of this is going on, Thomas is not there. And I wonder if it's not just absence. I wonder if it's distance. Because sometimes when something breaks open like that, when grief and fear and confusion fill the room, some of us take a step back. Not because we don't care, but because it's just too much. Because the body can only hold so much at once. And when the disciples say, "We have seen the Lord," I imagine Thomas does not just doubt in his mind, I imagine his body resists it as well. Because hope, after loss, can feel dangerous. To open yourself again, to take a breath again. It means you might have to feel everything that you have been trying to hold back, and that is scary. And so Thomas says, "Unless I can see, unless I can touch, I cannot open myself to that again unless I know that it's real." And maybe for a week, Thomas lives like that, holding his breath, going through the motions, staying close enough to community, not to be alone, but to fully enter back in. Because if he lets himself hope too soon, well, it just might break him. And then Jesus comes. Again. And this time it's for Thomas. And before Thomas reaches out his hand, I wonder if something else happens first. I wonder if his breath changes. If something in his chest loosens, if the tightness he's been carrying begins to slowly release, because that's what happens when you are met with honesty. When you are not pushed, not shamed, not rushed past your doubt, but just invited in. "Put your finger here," Jesus says. And in that moment, Thomas does not just see, he receives. "My Lord, my God." Not a certainty achieved, but a breath returning. As life given back to him when he could not secure it himself. And that's where the story becomes ours. Because Thomas does not come to faith alone. He comes into it in community. With the disciples, the people who stayed and told the story, who said, "We have seen the Lord." Even when he could not believe it himself, they held the faith for him when he doubted. And that's what we're called to be. Church is not a place where everyone believes the same thing. Church is a place where no one has to believe alone. A community where faith is not individual achievement, but something that we carry together. Where when one of us cannot believe, someone else believes for us. Where doubt is not pushed out, but held with care. Where questions are not threats, but sacred ground. And in a few weeks, we will celebrate our confirmands. And we will see this so clearly. Because they will stand up here, not because they have everything figured out, but because they are willing to stay and ask and wrestle and wonder. And we, this community, will promise something in return. We will love them, and we will walk with them, and we will remind them again and again and again that they do not have to do faith alone. Because this is a beloved community. It's not perfect, it's not certain, but it is committed. It is a place where breath is shared, where hope is practiced, where faith is held, sometimes by you, and sometimes for you. And then Jesus said, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet come to believe." And this moment, this realization that belief is not something we force, it is something that we let in bit by bit, like breath. Because it's always happening. Even when we doubt, even when we question, even when we are not sure what we believe anymore, guess what? You're still breathing. And so is the person next to you. And maybe faith is like that. Not something that we hold tightly on our own, but something moving through us and between us and among us. The same spirit, the same ruach, still breathing. And this is the moment where everything shifts, isn't it? Because we've been taught to think that faith is something we hold, something we build, something we strengthen, something we try not to lose. But what if that's not true? What if faith is not something you secure? What if it's something that you're just given? What if it's less like gripping tightly and more like breathing? Because you do not hold your breath to stay alive. You let it in and you let it out again and again. Which means that even when you feel like you have lost your faith, even when your questions are louder than your certainty, even when your chest feels tight and your hope feels far away, you are not without it. Because you are breathing and the Spirit is moving and life is still being given. And God is still breathing into all of it. So hear this. You do not have to secure your life. You do not have to force belief. You do not have to make your faith stronger than it is. Because from the very beginning, life has never been something you hold together on your own. It has always been something given. In every breath you haven't earned. In every moment you didn't plan, in every space where you thought everything was closing in, and somehow you are still here, still breathing and still being held. So the invitation is simple. When your everything feels tight, and when your chest feels heavy, and when your faith feels just out of reach, don't try to force it. Just notice your breath. Because even now, in this moment, you are not holding life together. You are being breathed. And that's where life begins again, with Ruach. Amen.
We are glad you joined us for this podcast from Central Presbyterian Church. Central is a welcoming congregation of the Presbyterian Church USA located in downtown Atlanta across from the state capitol. For more information about the life, work and ministries, please visit our website at cpcatlanta.org. We also invite you to join us for worship and Sunday school and experience this exciting and diverse body of believers who seek to be bearers of God's justice in the world. Thanks again for listening.